Thank you for being an amazing supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, home to the history of the Caribbeans. We're excited to have you as a valued member of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes, comments, and reviews mean so much to us. They help us reach a wider audience and inspire us to keep sharing these incredible stories. With new episodes released daily, your feedback plays a crucial role in shaping our content and making it even better. Your dedication and enthusiasm drive our mission to document and celebrate the rich history of the Caribbean. We're deeply grateful for your support. Today, we're thrilled to present Columbia Episode 1, a captivating story tracing the journey from the island's earliest settlers to the present day. So sit back, relax, and join us as we guide you through this fascinating chapter in Caribbean history. Enjoy the journey. Chapter 1, The Dawn of Civilization, Columbia's Earliest Inhabitants. Long before the Spanish conquistadors set foot on the lush, mountainous terrain of what we now call Colombia, the land was home to civilizations that had flourished for thousands of years. The first inhabitants, ancient hunter-gatherers, wandered into these lands approximately 16,000 years ago, their journey dictated by the shifting climates of the last ice age. With stone tools in hand and a knowledge passed through generations, they traversed dense forests and treacherous mountain passes, forging the foundation of civilizations that would later astonish the European invaders. The land they entered was a world of extremes. Soaring Andean peaks, vast Amazonian rainforests, and fertile valleys cradled by the Magdalena and Cauca rivers. This geography shaped not only their survival strategies, but also the complex societies they would eventually build. The earliest evidence of human presence in Colombia dates back to El Abra, an archaeological site near modern-day Bogota. Here, anthropologists have uncovered rudimentary stone tools, proving that pre-agricultural bands had begun shaping their environment as early as 12,500 BCE. These were not primitive people wandering without direction. They possessed an intrinsic understanding of nature, adapting their diets to seasonal cycles of game, fruit, and tubers. Their stone flake tools, designed for cutting and scraping, reveal a people skilled in butchering animals and preparing hides for clothing and shelter. As the Ice Age receded and ecosystems evolved, so too did these early societies. Around 10,000 BCE, the first signs of agricultural experimentation emerged. In the fertile lowlands, indigenous groups began the deliberate cultivation of staple crops such as maize, manioc, and yams. This agricultural revolution did not happen overnight, but rather through generations of keen observation and selective planting. The river valleys, rich with nutrients from annual floods, became prime locations for early farming, allowing for settled communities to emerge. No longer bound to a purely nomadic existence, these groups transitioned from simple bands of hunter-gatherers into organized villages, setting the stage for the rise of sophisticated cultures. The San Agustin culture, which flourished between 2000 BCE and 800 CE, represents one of the earliest known complex societies in Colombia. Nestled in the highlands of present-day Huila, these people developed intricate belief systems centered around ancestor worship and the cosmic forces they believed governed life and death. Their most enduring legacy remains the colossal stone statues they left behind, enigmatic monolithic figures carved from volcanic rock, depicting deities, warriors, and mythical creatures. These sculptures, often standing over 4 meters tall, serve as silent guardians of a civilization whose written records, if they ever existed, have been lost to time. Another remarkable culture of ancient Colombia was the Tiradentro civilization, thriving in the mountainous regions of Cauca between 500 BCE and 900 CE. Their underground tombs, known as hypogea, reveal an advanced funerary tradition, where the dead were interred in deep chambers adorned with intricate geometric patterns. These subterranean tombs, some extending more than 12 meters below the surface, illustrate a deep reverence for the afterlife. Each chamber was meticulously carved into volcanic tuff, then decorated with ochre, red, black, and white pigments. This artistry reflected not only their spiritual beliefs, but also a hierarchical society where elite members were given elaborate burials, surrounded by pottery, gold ornaments, and weapons. By the time the first European ships appeared on the Caribbean coast in the early 16th century, Colombia was already home to a mosaic of indigenous cultures, each with their own systems of governance, religion, and economy. Among them, the Muisca Confederation was one of the most formidable. Occupying the high-altitude plateau of Cundinamarca and Boyaca, The Muisca people had established an advanced society, based on a sophisticated trade network and a gold-based economy that would later fuel the Spanish legend of El Dorado. The Muisca ruled through a dual system of leadership, where the Xipa of Bacata, modern-day Bogota, and the Zac of Hunza, Tunja, held political and religious authority over their respective territories. Their wealth in gold, salt, and emeralds made them a prosperous civilization long before Spanish greed reshaped their destiny. Despite their accomplishments, the indigenous people of Colombia were not immune to conflict. Archaeological evidence suggests that rival groups frequently clashed over territory, resources, and power. The Quimbaya civilization, known for their exquisite gold work, often found themselves in competition with neighboring societies. Gold was not merely a symbol of wealth. It held religious significance, believed to be a divine material that connected the earthly and spiritual realms. The intricate Tumbaga artifacts they crafted, an alloy of gold and copper, showcase an unparalleled level of metallurgical sophistication. Their artisans mastered the lost wax casting technique, allowing them to create elaborate figurines, ceremonial breastplates, and jewelry that continue to captivate modern historians. As this first chapter unfolds, the tale of Colombia's earliest inhabitants is one of ingenuity, resilience, and complexity. These were not primitive tribes awaiting European civilization, but rather thriving cultures with intricate social structures, advanced technologies, and deeply spiritual worldviews. Their legacy, though fragmented by conquest and time, remains etched in the landscapes they once ruled and in the traditions that persist among their descendants today. The story of Colombia does not begin with conquest. It begins with these ancient peoples, their wisdom, their wars, their artistry, and their enduring spirit. As we move forward into the next chapters, we will witness how these foundations, laid over millennia, were both shattered and reshaped by the forces of colonial ambition and resistance. Chapter 2. The Age of Gold, El Dorado, and the Spanish Conquest. The legend of El Dorado was not merely a myth whispered among Spanish sailors. It was an obsession that drove some of the most ruthless and daring expeditions in history. Long before the arrival of the Spanish, the indigenous peoples of Colombia had woven gold into their cultures, not as a symbol of material wealth, but as a sacred connection to the divine. Gold was revered, shaped into elaborate figures, masks, and ornaments, used in ceremonies to honor the gods. To the Muisca people, the most powerful indigenous civilization in the highlands of present-day Colombia, gold was the fabric of their spiritual realm, an offering to their deities, and a token of their king's divine right to rule. At the heart of this legend was the ritual of the Golden King, the Xipa of Bacata, who, during sacred ceremonies at Lake Guadavita, was said to cover his body in gold dust and cast treasures into the waters as an offering to the gods. This spectacle, described in Spanish accounts, fueled the insatiable European thirst for gold, leading to a relentless wave of expeditions into the Colombian interior. The Spanish conquistadors, hardened from the Reconquista of Iberia and the battles against the Moors, saw in these lands not just riches but dominion, an opportunity to extend the reach of the Spanish crown and the Catholic Church. When Gonzalo Jiménez de Quesada arrived in 1536, leading an expedition from the Caribbean coast through treacherous jungles and across the towering Andean mountains, he encountered the mighty Muisca Confederation. The Muisca, though highly organized with advanced economic and political structures, were no match for the steel, gunpowder, and cavalry of the Spanish. By 1538, Bacata, the center of the Muisca civilization, fell to Spanish control, marking the beginning of a new era of exploitation, forced labor, and cultural destruction. The conquest of Colombia was not a single battle, nor was it met without resistance. Indigenous warriors fought valiantly, employing guerrilla tactics in the rugged terrain to delay Spanish advances. Leaders such as Tisquisusa, the Xipa of Bacata, and his successor, Sajipa, attempted to resist, but the onslaught of foreign diseases and the superior military technology of the Spanish proved insurmountable. The once thriving indigenous populations were decimated by smallpox, influenza, and brutal forced labor under the encomienda system, a system of slavery disguised as tribute to the Spanish crown. Yet conquest was not solely about force. It was about assimilation and conversion. The Spanish, with their powerful religious institutions, sought to dismantle the indigenous belief systems and replace them with Christianity. Missionaries arrived in droves, establishing churches and schools, forcibly baptizing native peoples, and systematically erasing ancient traditions. The introduction of European laws, language, and social structures dismantled the indigenous governance systems, relegating native communities to the lowest rungs of the colonial hierarchy. The discovery of vast gold reserves in the regions of Antioquia, Tolima, and Popayan intensified Spanish ambitions. Mining operations flourished, powered by enslaved indigenous labor, and later by African slaves brought from across the Atlantic. The wealth extracted from Colombia contributed immensely to the Spanish economy, fueling the empire's expansion in Europe and the Americas. Cartagena, on the Caribbean coast, emerged as a key hub for the Spanish galleon trade, where riches flowed out and African slaves were imported in increasing numbers to replace the indigenous workforce ravaged by disease and exploitation. Despite the overwhelming Spanish dominance, pockets of resistance persisted. The legendary figure of La Gaitana, an indigenous woman from the Tamana region, led a fierce uprising against the Spaniards after her son was executed. She united numerous indigenous groups, waging a campaign of strategic ambushes that rattled Spanish forces. Though ultimately unsuccessful in expelling the invaders, her resistance became a symbol of indigenous resilience and defiance. The conquest of Colombia, however, was not merely a tale of bloodshed. It was also a story of cultural fusion and survival. The indigenous people adapted to colonial rule in various ways. Some resisted openly, others found ways to integrate while preserving elements of their identity. The blending of Spanish, African, and indigenous traditions laid the foundation for what would become a uniquely Colombian culture, one forged through struggle, endurance, and adaptation. By the end of the 16th century, Colombia was firmly under Spanish rule, its indigenous civilizations subdued but not entirely erased. The legend of El Dorado had driven men to the ends of the earth in search of wealth beyond measure, but what they left in their wake was a society irreversibly transformed, a land of deep scars, but also of resilience, where ancient traditions and colonial impositions intertwined in ways that would shape the nation's future. As the Spanish settlers established their dominance, the seeds of future revolutions were already being sown, for a land taken by force would one day demand its freedom. Chapter 3. The Colonial Machine, the Rise of Spanish Rule. With the conquest of Colombia largely completed by the end of the 16th century, the Spanish crown turned its attention toward consolidating control over its newfound territory. The once thriving indigenous civilizations had been subdued, their traditional ways of life disrupted by foreign rule, disease, and enforced labor. In their place, the Spanish colonial system was meticulously constructed, a vast and complex machinery designed to extract wealth, enforce social hierarchy, and spread European cultural and religious values. The heart of this new order lay in the establishment of the Viceroyalty of New Granada, which encompassed present-day Colombia, Venezuela, Ecuador, and Panama. Administered from Bogotá, the Viceroyalty became an essential part of the Spanish Empire, strategically located to oversee trade routes and maintain imperial authority. This administrative structure placed power in the hands of Spanish-born elites, known as peninsulars, while Creoles, those of Spanish descent born in the Americas, held a subordinate status, leading to tensions that would eventually ignite calls for independence centuries later. One of the most significant institutions of Spanish rule was the encomienda system, a feudal-like arrangement that granted Spanish settlers, encomenderos, the right to extract labor and tribute from indigenous communities in exchange for supposed protection and religious instruction. In reality, this system resulted in rampant abuse, forced labor, and suffering for the native populations. Entire villages were conscripted to work in gold and emerald mines, toiling under brutal conditions to extract precious resources that would be shipped to Spain. The relentless exploitation led to a dramatic decline in the indigenous population, prompting the Spanish to seek alternative labor sources. By the 17th century, African slavery had become a cornerstone of Colombia's colonial economy. Cartagena de Indias, one of the most significant ports on the Spanish main, emerged as a major hub for the transatlantic slave trade. Thousands of Africans were forcibly brought to the New World, where they were subjected to the grueling conditions of sugar plantations, mining operations, and domestic servitude. Despite their oppression, enslaved Africans maintained elements of their cultural heritage, blending African traditions with indigenous and European influences to create new forms of music, dance, and religious expression, an enduring aspect of Colombia's cultural identity today. Meanwhile, the Catholic Church played a critical role in colonial society, serving as both a spiritual guide and an instrument of control. Missionaries traveled deep into indigenous territories, establishing missions and forcibly converting native populations to Christianity. The Inquisition, imported from Spain, was tasked with maintaining religious orthodoxy, targeting individuals accused of heresy, witchcraft, or indigenous spiritual practices. Churches and monasteries flourished, amassing wealth and power, and religious orders such as the Jesuits established educational institutions that would shape future generations of colonial elites. Despite the rigid social and economic hierarchy imposed by Spanish rule, the colony was not without resistance. Indigenous communities continued to revolt against oppression, leading uprisings such as the Tupac Amaru Rebellion, which sent shockwaves through Spanish America. Enslaved Africans also rebelled, establishing palenques, fortified settlements where runaway slaves, cimarrones, built independent communities beyond the reach of colonial authorities. These palenques became centers of African resistance and cultural preservation, embodying the unbreakable spirit of those who refused to be subjugated. As Colombia's colonial economy expanded, new industries emerged alongside mining and agriculture. The haciendas, vast landed estates controlled by Spanish elites, dominated the landscape, producing crops such as cacao, tobacco, and coffee for export. Trade flourished, particularly through the port cities of Cartagena and Santa Marta, while Bogota grew as an administrative and economic center. However, the benefits of this prosperity were unequally distributed, with indigenous and African populations continuing to suffer under exploitative labor systems. By the late 18th century, the foundations of Spanish rule in Colombia began to show signs of strain. Enlightenment ideas, circulating among educated Creoles, challenged the legitimacy of absolute monarchy and colonial exploitation. Inspired by the American and French revolutions, intellectuals and reformists in Bogota and other colonial centers began to question Spanish authority. The Comunero Revolt of 1781, one of the most significant pre-independence uprisings, saw thousands of peasants, artisans, and indigenous people rise up against excessive taxation and economic oppression. Though ultimately crushed by colonial forces, this rebellion planted the seeds of future resistance. As the colonial era drew to a close, Colombia stood on the precipice of transformation. Spanish rule had brought profound and often brutal changes to the land and its people, but it had also created a unique, multifaceted society, one where indigenous, African, and European influences had merged into something distinctly Colombian. The social hierarchies and economic structures established during this period would set the stage for the independence movements that were soon to come. In the next chapter, we will explore the turbulent fight for Colombia's freedom and the birth of a new nation. Chapter 4: Seeds of Rebellion, the Fight for Independence. By the dawn of the 19th century, the Spanish grip on Colombia was beginning to loosen, though it had not yet broken. The colony, deeply embedded in the Spanish Empire's economic and political framework, was growing restless. The echoes of revolution from the United States, France, and Haiti reverberated through the intellectual circles of Bogota, Cartagena, and other colonial cities. The once static colonial society was shifting, tensions were rising, and beneath the surface, the seeds of rebellion were being sown. The Bourbon reforms of the late 18th century, aimed at increasing Spanish control and economic efficiency in its American colonies, had unintended consequences. The reforms heightened taxation, limited local governance, and consolidated power in the hands of Spanish-born administrators, further alienating the Creole elite, those of Spanish descent born in the Americas. This growing dissatisfaction among the Creoles, who found themselves politically and economically marginalized despite their wealth, laid the foundation for resistance. Additionally, the increasing burdens placed on indigenous and mestizo populations, particularly through labor obligations and trade restrictions, exacerbated unrest among the lower classes. One of the earliest major expressions of popular discontent was the Comunero Revolt of 1781, an uprising in the region of Socorro. Led by peasants, artisans, and indigenous people, the revolt was sparked by excessive taxation and government control over goods. The rebels marched toward Bogota, demanding reforms, but their movement ultimately collapsed after the Spanish authorities agreed to negotiate, only to later renege on their promises and punish the leaders. Although unsuccessful, the Comunero Revolt was a harbinger of the larger struggle that was to come, proving that colonial rule was not invulnerable. As the 19th century progressed, the Napoleonic Wars in Europe had a direct impact on the Spanish-American colonies. In 1808, Napoleon Bonaparte's forces invaded Spain, capturing King Ferdinand VII and replacing him with Napoleon's brother, Joseph Bonaparte. This power vacuum in Spain created a crisis of legitimacy in the colonies. With the Spanish king effectively dethroned, many in New Granada, present-day Colombia, began to question their allegiance to the Spanish crown. Some saw an opportunity for greater autonomy, while others argued for full independence. On July 20, 1810, Bogota erupted into chaos in what would later be celebrated as Colombia's Independence Day. The incident known as the Florero de Llorente, the Llorente flower vase, was a staged confrontation used as a pretext to ignite the independence movement. Creole leaders, including Antonio Nerino and Camilo Torres, declared a provisional government, marking the beginning of a decade-long struggle against Spanish rule. However, this first phase of independence was fraught with internal divisions. Creole leaders disagreed on whether to seek full independence or remain loyal to Spain under a constitutional monarchy. These ideological divides led to infighting, weakening the independence movement. Meanwhile, the Spanish launched their Reconquista of New Granada, determined to reassert control over the rebellious colony. The royalist forces, led by the brutal Spanish general Pablo Murillo, embarked on a campaign of repression known as the Regime of Terror, 1816-1819. Independence leaders were executed, including Camilo Torres, and thousands of suspected revolutionaries were imprisoned or exiled. For a time, it seemed that Spanish rule had been restored. However, resistance continued in the rural regions. The Llanero cavalry, hardened warriors from the eastern plains, became a crucial force in the fight against Spain. Under the command of Simón Bolívar, the revolutionary army regrouped in the Orinoco Basin, launching a daring military campaign that would change the course of history. Bolívar, known as El Libertador, led his troops across the freezing Andes in the legendary campaign of 1819, a feat comparable to Hannibal's crossing of the Alps. This daring maneuver culminated in the Battle of Boyaca on August 7, 1819, where Bolívar's forces decisively defeated the Spanish, securing the independence of New Granada. Following this victory, Bolívar and his allies established Gran Colombia, a vast republic encompassing present-day Colombia, Venezuela, Ecuador, and Panama. Though independence was formally achieved, the struggle was far from over. Internal conflicts and power struggles threatened the fragile new republic, and the dream of a united South America soon began to unravel. As Colombia emerged from the shadows of Spanish rule, it faced the daunting task of nation-building. The independence movement had been fueled by ideals of liberty, equality, and self-governance, but translating those ideals into a functioning government proved challenging. Creole elites, now in power, often maintained many of the colonial-era hierarchies, leading to continued struggles between different social and political factions. In the next chapter, we will explore the early years of the Republic of Colombia, its political struggles, economic challenges, and the efforts to forge a national identity in the wake of Spanish rule.